This episode of Radio Radar brought to you by Best Buy. You can pick up Call of Duty Black Ops 2 at Best Buy or BestBuy.com now. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 14 of Radio Radar. I'm your host, Hollander Cooper, here in the studio with...
Tom Agrio.
Henry Gilbert.
Lorenzo. That's my best one.
That was weird. That was, like, you lost enough confidence that you didn't even say your last name.
Veloria.
I thought it was almost like, Lorenzo, I hope people don't know who I am.
Yeah. I was trying to be as excited as inverse as I am to tired right now.
Yeah, it's a really busy week. We have the Wii U coming out this weekend. We had Blops this week. And also Hitman's out next week. Epic Mickey's out next week. It's just a crazy, crazy week. So we're recording this early in the morning on Friday instead of Thursday afternoon, which I believe we swore never to do again.
We did do that.
It's a great choice.
But you know what? It doesn't matter because I'm energetic as hell because I have to be.
Right.
Because if I'm not energetic,
then who would be energetic?
Just going to start crying. Oh. So it's one or the other, and I'm choosing laugh or cry. Yeah, laugh or cry, and you know what? Ha ha ha. Even so, we have a packed-ass show for you today. Starting off with the top seven reasons the Wii will be remembered fondly. And this is an idea that's been bouncing around. Just go with it, Tom Agrino! Packed-ass show edition.
It's like you didn't mean to do that.
I did.
Oh, really?
I knew what I was doing. Okay. And this top seven reasons the Wii will be remembered fondly was written by our very own Henry Gilbert.
Yeah, it's my first top seven in months.
How difficult was this to write?
Well, you know, you just have to put yourself into the mindset of a Nintendo mega fan, which I certainly am not. I'm not a fan.
Because the Wii stock is pretty low right now.
Yeah, I think actually I just had to go back to how I felt in 2009 and pretend the last 3 years didn't happen.
But that said, I still agree that the Wii will probably be remembered more fondly than it is right now.
Yeah. I think it was just – I think its stock is ultra low now because Nintendo didn't just give up on 2012. They gave up on 2011. Like 2011 had nothing. Yeah. 2010
they
was the last
– a long time ago, which is weird because Nintendo is flush with cash.
Yeah. They could develop 70 games. Right now. They could buy a dozen studios.
It's just weird to think about the fact – like think about that in the early generation until recently Sony and Microsoft were both selling their consoles at a loss. Mm-hmm. Nintendo, since day one, was making money on every Wii sold.
More and more.
Sold like 100 million.
It's around 100 million.
Yeah. It probably will be 100 million by the end of the year. So it's crazy.
Is it like 97 million or something?
Yeah, as of September. Well, meanwhile,
so you think
like,
it'll hit 100 million?
Yeah, they'll sell – in the holiday season, they'll sell 3 million Wiis across the world.
If I'm not sure just 3 million people who forget to look for the U on the box.
Yeah.
They said this was sold out. It was only $125 at the Walmart.
Yeah. So number seven.
Number
is,
seven.
It won its console, and I don't know if I'm gonna. Are you ready to call?
All right. Look. So
because the 360 and PS3 don't actually have successors announced.
There's
about a 30 million unit gap.
Yes. But the Wii will keep selling. I think it won't keep selling a ton, but. Like, the PS2 kept selling for a long time after the PS3 came out, so I think the Wii will keep selling. Not to that extent. PS2 sold really
They're going to
awesome.
Lower it.
Especially
how
if they're, like,
the
$150 it, bucks or
well,
whatever.
That's the thing. The Wii also isn't down to $100 yet.
Okay.
When it is $100, it'll sell even better. But so I feel the gap is so wide that while neither has announced a successor yet, I think this is the last Christmas for at least one of those, if not both. PS3 and 360.
So in 5 years, we're going to revisit this assessment of yours. What would you like to wager right now?
Oh, what?
You are correct.
How confident? Well, based on the inflation rate.
I'll wager Henry's Wii U.
No,
Wii U, that'll already be outdated.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he'll be outdated in 2 years.
the Wii U HD.
But yeah, so just on a statistical basis, like it was the biggest seller. The most people bought it. And it had like the biggest selling multi-console games when you combine sales on 360 and PS3 were the Call of Duty games, which top most of them go over 20 million if you can buy every version. Well, meanwhile, just on the Wii, new Mario Wii, Mario Kart Wii, Wii Play, and Wii Sports Resort all approach or surpass 30 million copies.
Those are all the pack-in games, aren't they?
No. None of those are pack-in games. Wii Sports was a pack-in game.
You know what expression I've never understood is allowed to be uttered in mainstream? Blew its wad.
How are we totally cool with that as a country?
And I'm going to go ahead and say the Wii has already blown its wad.
That's fine, but at the same time, you have to look at the reason the Xbox has sold 70 million units is because 20 million of those people had to repurchase their system. Those issues are gone now. The red rings aren't as big of a problem. So that you're actually going to notice a dip in how many Xboxes are sold, on top of the fact that you do get to a point where all the people that seriously wanted to buy it bought it already. And you can totally say that.
So
for...
So now you just need to plunder third world countries.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, you know.
But yeah, I think
West is pretty good at that.
I think if you want to look at it in the long view, like, technically you could probably, you'll say the 360 won this generation because most people bought most of the games on that as opposed to everything else. But I, you know, through a very specific set of statistics, I think the Wii is it's very easy to argue the Wii won.
And you kind of dipped into this a little bit on the last one. I don't want to say you blew your wad already, but number six is it had great exclusives.
No, it really did. It really did. People want to remember the bad times. There were bad ones, like the year they thought Wii Music could carry the fall, which was awful.
Wii Music was essentially a stick that you shook. It was a rain stick that cost $50.
So bad. And they were so sure it was going to be like be the next Guitar Hero. But yeah, it had Super Mario Galaxy 1 and 2, which personally to me, as of this time, are my favorite games of this generation. Like, I think they're the best of this generation. But they also had Twilight Princess. They had Kirby's Epic Yarn. They had Mad World. Actually, I shouldn't say Mad World next. But they had that Silent Hill Shattered Memories, which was so good. They had all these experimental, you know,
people
games.
People took chances. You have Boom
Skyward
Blocks.
Sword.
Skyward Sword, yeah. Boom Blocks was a fantastic game, probably one of the best party games. And you just continually look, and there are people keep making jokes like there were a few good games on the system. But in terms of exclusives, it easily had more impressive exclusives than the PS3 or the 360.
Oh,
and it would just say, and I know like
first party, third party
exclusives,
well, just things that weren't on.
It didn't
consoles,
have third party support for shit, but it had better had more good exclusives.
I don't know.
Well, this
God
I think,
of War, but like Halo, but, Gears of War, you're gonna ramp in all of those is better than some.
Those
of
are
no.
Good,
I'm saying
numerous.
More. I mean, if you put, if you just say like
oh,
say okay,
by
say
sheer quantity,
say like 80% Metacritic and up exclusives. The Wii U had more because on the 360, once you get past the three, or like once you just get past the three you just mentioned,
yeah.
You immediately start delving into, like, people keep complaining that our list of the best Xbox 360 and best PS3 games are almost all third-party, and that's because most of the best games on those systems are third-party.
Well, right. I think one of the major trends of this generation that we'll look back on is just it was the death of the third-party exclusive. Like, they just don't exist anymore.
Yeah. Whenever you got them, they were immediately ported over to other systems within, like, a few months.
I remember at the start of this generation, everybody just thought, well, yeah, Final Fantasy, I'm buying a PS3 for Final Fantasy and Devil May Cry, because... those are just Sony exclusives, and then, like, within a year, they were announced for the 360.
It just doesn't make sense anymore.
It's an economic reality issue.
Mm-hmm. Number five, developers learn to do more with less.
Yeah, so...
and the Wii was definitely less.
I think the Wii is pretty much a GameCube with Waggle. Like, that just is, like, technologically speaking.
It's a little more powerful.
It is literally... two GameCubes duct taped together.
So, but the problem.
At some point?
Yeah, who was that? Was that David Jaffe?
No, it was a. I forget. It was a Spore developer. It was a guy who worked on Spore.
Oh.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Boy, what hubris on his part. I'm glad. Spore, everybody remembers that great game.
Sold
that wasn't a big.
Millions.
Yeah, and it
so
was a
well.
Huge flame out.
Yeah,
and,
but it still sold well.
Anyway.
So you're going to complain about a flame out while we're talking about the Wii?
No, okay, so. The Wii...
talk about something blowing its wad.
Because the Wii was such a huge seller, I think it actually tricked third parties into developing games for it, thinking that they would be like, well, if 70 million people own a Wii, I just need to sell to like one of every 100 and I have a mega hit. Instead, they sold to one in every 50,000 people.
Yeah.
But when they were still trying from the, like, say, 2006 to 2010, before they completely gave up, there were, like, they made Mad World for it, which for its flaws, and it does have them, like, the graphics, like, they made such great artistic use of the graphics to make up for the fact that it wasn't as powerful.
Right.
Like, the cel-shaded stuff that was in Red Steel 2.
Yeah.
Also, like, 2D games like Boy and His Blob, Wario Land, Shake It, like those had great hand-drawn graphics. Like they were very impressive.
You know, so basically everything had to look like a cartoon to
sort of, nice. But they look like great cartoons.
Yeah. You know what stood out to me the most when I played a couple Mario games for the Wii U?
Mm-hmm.
I don't need Mario to be in HD.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like it's adding anything.
I think that's what their motto was when they're like, oh, this is like GamePube. Graphics. It's like, yeah, oh, you don't need Mario in HD.
It's good enough. No, I do want Mario.
No, I want
Mario
playing,
Galaxy. In
I want
HD.
Galaxy 3.
Playing Nintendo Land, which is just them, like, essentially an HD Wii game.
Uh-huh.
Just the way they just do lighting is like, holy shit, Nintendo's games are going to look beautiful in HD. Just because they have such. Like, the reason you don't think you need Mario in HD is because Nintendo does such a good job of Mario in standard definition. Mm-hmm. They know how to do silhouettes so well, almost like Valve style.
Right.
Like, they can just make things work regardless of the resolution. But when they're given a higher resolution, they'll be able to do more with mm-hmm. it. I mean, if you look at, like, just imagining how good Mario Galaxy's shadows looked.
Yeah.
Thinking about how fantastic, like, there were, like, volcano levels that looked amazing in Mario Galaxy. Thinking about how good those are going to look with an HD console that's so much more powerful, it's
so
just going to be beautiful.
A 2D. I don't need a 2D HD Mario.
There are moments in Mario U where I'm like, wow, this looks great. This looks
you
awesome.
You were really geeking out about this,
that Starry Night level's
Starry
great.
Night
it's really
level.
Cool.
Like,
eh?
You're also admittedly not a Mario guy.
But when you see games like...
I can appreciate Van Gogh, though.
When you see games like Rayman Legends in HD, that looks amazing.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, this game was very obviously them just making an HD Wii game.
Right.
But I have a feeling that in a year and a half when they release new Mario Wii U 2.
Admittedly, I haven't played any of the... I did play Rabbids also, and that was another game. I'm like, I don't know.
Well, that's a different... Beast.
It's like the whole party game thing. Just I don't need a party.
Well, Nintendo Land is at least a different approach to party games. But well, this is all another thing.
Yeah, we'll get into Nintendo Land in the review segment. But let's jump to number four. Virtual Console introduced a new generation to iconic titles.
Yeah.
Now this is the last. I mean, if you look back to or GameCube generation, previous generations, when games were hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
You just never got them. Like, I worked at a GameStop, and it was like, oh, crap, somebody traded in Marvel vs. Capcom 2. It's $80. Like, it was just – like, this generation was the end of that in a big mm-hmm. way, starting with the Virtual Console, where Nintendo was like, let's stop re-releasing our stuff in, like, big boxes for $50 and just charge someone $5 to get the original Zelda.
Mm-hmm. No, and it was – I remember even in the GameCube era when the rare times when they would re-release something like, here's – Ocarina and Majora's Mask on one disc, like you could buy for your GameCube. People were freaking out.
I spent $30 on Zelda, original Zelda on Game Boy Advance and played it for like 5 minutes. Because that was like, oh shit, you can buy this again?
So when Nintendo instead was like, let's just release everything. Like they opened the floodgates. I will also say Virtual Console has been a piece of garbage for the last 2 years because they barely updated it.
They blew their wad.
They blew their wad.
Well, I mean, I almost like it that they did that, though, because I would have rather of them just gotten all their hits out of the way as opposed to sitting on them.
But now, and especially now that they've set it up, like, everything that's on Virtual Console on the Wii is going to the Wii U, so it's become an even better service at the launch of the Wii U. Like, it's worth picking up.
Did you just write down a joke that you really want to tell later?
No, I wrote down the title of the episode, COD Blew Its Weed. WIID.
I don't even get that.
It's like blew your wad. Anyway, number three.
Uh-huh.
It brought a new audience. It brought a new audience to games.
But did it stay?
Well,
doesn't matter. After Wii Bowling.
I think... Yeah, this one was a little hard to argue.
This one, I bullshit it.
No, because it legitimately did break. Yeah, whether or not they stuck around doesn't matter.
Maybe they went to play Facebook games.
It fed the homeless, but did they stay full? That doesn't matter. Yeah. You fed the homeless.
I mean, the nice thing that the Wii did do is it made it so people who didn't play games automatically assumed that every game was like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, yeah, that's nice. And also that, like...
God, well, you could Grand Theft Auto. I'm going to be fucking awesome.
You could also joke that a lot of the new players that the Wii brought in aren't around anymore because they're dead because they rolled late.
Broke themselves playing the Wii.
I feel like a lot of moms got into the Wii. Like,
yeah, a lot of moms who then went to Facebook or mobile games,
or they went to the iPad, which is the opening. Oh wait, you got iPad in my Wii. Oh no! And that's Nintendo's entire marketing campaign for the Wii U.
I will go to like my mom's house, or actually I'm not going to my mom's house, but I will go to a friend's house and they'll have a Wii and I'll be like, oh, so you have this Wii there? And you're like, yeah, I just use it to stream Netflix. And it's like,
when my brother stopped playing his console, he just gave it to my mom and was like, this plays Netflix. That's all my mom needed to know. Like she didn't need anything else, and she doesn't care that it's not in HD. Like so.
Yeah, I just talked to so many people. Just like, yeah, I bought my parents a Roku box, and then went over a few months later, and they hooked it up with standard definition cables to their like 55-inch TV in the living room, and they have no idea.
Yeah.
People who don't know tech cannot tell the difference between standard definition and HD,
ignorance.
And it makes no sense to me. Or even like my fiance's family bought a new surround sound system, and they invited over a bunch of people because they were so proud of it, and I heard them in the basement just like watching a movie. We went downstairs. Was not set up correctly. They had just turned the TV's volume up really loud.
Wow.
And no one had it. Like, there were speakers all over the room. None of them worked. Not even a fucking sound. It was just nothing but the giant TV going like, at all times.
Was everybody just being polite?
No, because old people just can't. Old people's ears suck.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they just didn't know.
My ears are starting to suck.
It was all psychosomatic.
My ears have always sucked.
Your ears have never been all that good.
All of my senses are very dull.
It's why you don't review games often.
That's true.
This game's blurry and sounds dumb. Also, kids' lawns, blah, blah, blah. Number two. It really was a revolution, and then Henry turned and winked at all of you. Just not the one we expected.
Yeah,
how is this not the previous one?
Because this isn't about the new audiences brought in. It's how it affected the game's market. Like, the 360 and PS3 both really just... Well, the PS3 tried its best to rip off it with a shitty six-axis fast as it could.
Hey, you know, it's a... Oh, yeah.
But, six-axis was shit.
Dude, I remember watching E3 and seeing that Warhawk demo, and like somebody at Cindy being like, isn't it great? And then just the smarmiest way they could do it, and just knowing that Reggie at that time just fucking threw a Wiimote through his television in anger.
Wasn't Lair exclusively just successful?
Yeah, that's what killed
the
company.
They actually had to patch Lair to not work with motion controls. Yeah. Like, we need this game to work with a regular controller because it is awful.
Yeah, then the success of the Wii, like, forced the hand of 360 and PS3 to, like, we gotta have our own motion bullshit.
That's
gotta
why
do
we
it.
Have Fable the Journey.
And we need a lollipop controller.
And I'm not saying I think pretty much the Kinect has been proven to be a not
extremely
what it
was high
sold
selling.
As. Yes. Yeah, very high selling, but not. It's not accurate. It doesn't
it's
do what it should do. Yeah.
It's somehow less one-to-one motion than the Wii was.
Right.
And also, no one cares about the Move. But I do think they've, like, because of this, it made motion controls in some form, like, necessary from now on.
Which is weird, because it's like every third party hates motion controls. Have you seen a third party that does motion? I'm trying to think right now. What is a third party that does motion controls?
Harmonix.
Dance Central,
They only tack it into the games that they need to port to the Wii U now, so.
Yeah, it's sad.
I mean, the only ones are the ones we talked about earlier that made exclusive Wii U games.
Yeah, it's kind of like how Nintendo, you know, with N64 made like four
EA
players.
With golf.
They made like four players at once a necessity. It made Rumble a necessity, an analog control a necessity. And it's the same deal with the Wii. Like, you just can't go back from motion now. Like, it's just
which
part
I
of the
like.
Deal.
But I sort of like it at the level that the six axis technically could have done it if they didn't try. Like, I like the idea that I just have another button that is shake my controller like an asshole. Right. Like, that's an option. But they, but for some reason, they were like, no, you need to aim your grenades also.
Oh, the ones in Uncharted.
That was the worst.
Blech.
Or like the two times in Uncharted, it's like, quick, balance on this log. It's like, oh, fuck you, man. I'm not balancing on this log.
That was pretty bad.
Number one reason, the top seven reasons the Wii will be remembered fondly, it saved Nintendo.
Yeah, I definitely believe this. Now, you could argue that even if you completely obliterate their sales, if you don't take into consideration any of their home sales, just handhelds, Nintendo would have still been very successful with the DS. So they wouldn't have gone out of business. But if the Wii had failed, I think right now they would be seriously considering leaving home consoles.
It would have been the third console that didn't win their generation in a row.
And continued to do worse. Like, the GameCube was third, and that embarrassed Nintendo.
Yeah.
Like, they hated being third. And so if the Wii had been a flop again, like, they probably would have stopped making home console games.
Which they probably, I mean, you would still be getting all your favorite games. They would just be shoved onto the DS.
Yeah, yeah. They would have made a very advanced, they would have made a 3DS even more advanced than it was just to keep up with the Joneses. But so instead it became so successful. Like, Nintendo, I really hate seeing, one of my biggest pet peeves right now in the news is when you see these idiot analysts and salespeople saying, like, Nintendo really needs to switch to Facebook games and mobile games because that's where the future is, and they're gonna be the next Sega. Like, do you know how much money Nintendo has? Billions. They have billions liquid assets saved up.
Just because of the Wii.
Just because of the Wii. They could fail for two more console generations, probably make no money, and still, which they won't because they still will have a portable games making the money, even if the Wii U doesn't make them anything.
$14.13 billion, by the way.
It's fucking stupid amount of money. Yeah, that is so stupid money.
Double check to see if it was, in fact, billions.
Yeah, billions. Billions.
It's actually more billions than I thought.
Yeah.
And it's just like you said, they can fail. They could go out of their way to fail for a little while. And be totally fine.
And Nintendo, that's because Nintendo's always been a very conservative, safe company. Sega was not either of those things. They've risked and failed many times.
And Nintendo's sort of safe to a detriment. Like, like the fact that Nintendo isn't just buying developers left and right is super confusing to me. Like, the company that's making Luigi's Mansion, don't they not even own them?
They've made so many games on Next Level, they should just buy them. But Nintendo just doesn't like to own developers. They like to have partnerships. They don't like to own developers. They like to keep that list low, which is very strange to me, but that's
it's why you get a Zelda every 7 years instead of every three.
Yeah. Nintendo's kind of a non-committal fuckwit in this.
Yeah, but you know what? That's why they have $14 billion.
Do not put a ring on it.
And it, yeah. They hate doing that.
They're cock tease.
And with that, we're going to take a break and we'll swing back to news. All right, and we're back with the news. No previews this week because seriously, fuck that. But news is pretty big, starting with the Grand Theft Auto 5 trailer with the awesome Skeletons song that
you
played in the back.
You guys watched the actual music video.
I did.
I have.
What the fuck?
Really creepy.
It's just like woman poisoning herself and sort of alluding to the fact that she's a child. Like, it's just a music video about child molesters and Stevie Wonder saying, like, it's all right.
It's all right, man.
It's super weird.
Child molesters, drug dealers, or drug users.
When you told me it was spooky or like creepy, I'm like, oh, there's going to be skeletons in it.
Nope. Just super creepy.
Good song, though. But the Grand Theft Auto 5 trailer finally showing off something
what the game
real
is,
it is one of my favorite trailers in a while, especially when I watch it more.
Rockstar knows how to do trailers. Like, they are the masters of it, I'd say.
Yeah, and so the trailer shows off a bunch of interesting stuff. It shows off that all three protagonists, what are their names?
They are Trevor, the meth head, Michael, the reformed bank robber, and Franklin, the young gang member who's trying to move up in the world.
Yeah, or move up in the world of crime.
Yeah.
They show them all off. They all have pretty good dialogue. I'll say Franklin probably gets the worst dialogue of the trailer.
He's a little much mouth, but
they just didn't give him much to work with.
Well, he's the newbie.
The newbie, but the other two characters, Like,
so Trevor is patently ridiculous.
Trevor is
Trevor,
the guy who jumps off the train that is on a...
Not only does he jump off the train that hits another train, he also drives a Jeep out of a plane and then jumps out of the Jeep.
He's
essentially
the awesome
Nathan
guy.
Drake.
He is the
as a meth head.
He is the Saints Row of Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, I
feel like Grand Theft Auto has now gone full circle and incorporated Saints Row.
See, I don't even think it's that, because Gay Tony was essentially Saints Row. I feel like it was just them acknowledging that there are three kinds of Grand Theft Auto. There's Grand Theft Auto 3, and then there's San Andreas, and then there's Vice City. And I think each one of these characters is just going to be a different one of them.
Yeah,
and though you might want to say that the San Andreas one is going to be Franklin, it's very obviously going to be Trevor.
Yeah, well, I just, like, in general, just had a more comedic tone. Like, it wasn't just about, I am in this country and have to be better, and things are sad.
That's the thing about Grand Theft Auto to me. It's not fun. Like, I have a problem with the fun factor of previous Grand Theft Autos. Like, I understand that they're technically sprawling and there's a lot of different things to do, but there's always been that element of fun that hasn't been there for me, and I feel like with Grand Theft Auto 5, that's where they're going to be improving.
Potentially. It looks like there's just so much to do. Like, well, they showed a motocross race, and they showed somebody jumping out of an airplane, and somebody just flying an airplane and shooting down helicopters
like
with a jet.
A varied amount of things.
When there's, like, a full golf course in the game, like an 18-hole golf course, you can just play golf.
Yeah.
And, like, there's
pretty crazy.
There's going to be mini-games everywhere. Like, the real estate, like, I think I mentioned it last week, but it's bigger than Red Dead's map, San Andreas's map, GTA 4's map, and, one other map combined. Like, it's that huge.
All those extra things are the reason why I never finished the story.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto. I only finished San Andreas because that game was awesome, but
GTA 4's story was the first I finished because it was more focused. Like, it was just the three islands of fake New York, and it was a lot more crammed together.
Yeah, and you could just cab it everywhere, which is what I did. But the trailer as well as the Game Informer story confirm what we already knew. It's a current-gen game. Despite the fact that the next-gen is right around the corner, which, I mean, is never more evident than the fact that there are 30 AAA games coming out within the first 4 months of next year, because they just know they need to just get out on shelves.
Right.
And Rockstar has actually said that they believe that Grand Theft Auto V is best served on current-gen.
Yeah, so Dan Houser, in a quote, said, "We use the technology we have to create content, and we try not to let ourselves get beholden to the hardware. The fact that hardware is so mature right now is exactly why we're able to go on to the next level. GTA 4 was our first attempt at a new platform and HD visuals, so the first part of development was seriously difficult. Now we know what the hardware is capable of, so it's become a lot easier to move things along and a lot more fun, too." And he compared it to consoles are more like wine than milk from the development standpoint.
And it's interesting because this generation has been super indicative of that. So you have, like, the early in the generation where you have a bunch of games. Like, everyone keeps complaining, oh, my God, why is everyone giving recent games such high scores? It's because people know how to make games on the current gen now much better than they did 5 years ago.
And that's why, like, I have my serious hesitations about the Microsoft and Sony creating these new consoles, because it's like, finally we're able to hit a stride with these consoles.
I don't feel like it's finally. I feel like it was like 3 years ago.
I know.
And I mean, and this year, as I'm like installing 3 discs and downloading 2 gig updates and deleting demos nonstop, I'm starting to see that it's like I feel like next gen isn't going to be like most generations in that I think you're essentially going to see there's going to be a little rough patch, but it's the hardware's not going to be that much different no matter how much better it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
That I think it's almost going to be like everyone's going to take a breather for a year and push out their games. It's like, look, we have 36,000 people on screen at once, and you can poke them all.
In Dynasty Warriors 12.
Yeah, but I feel like really quickly people are just going to, like, there are probably games that are developed for current gen now that people are like, you know what, this is going to be 6 discs. Let's just push it to next gen.
Yeah.
So you're going to see a lot of, like, the AAA games that like, you probably expected to see, like Beyond Good and Evil.
Mm-hmm.
They probably got to a point where they're like, you know what, let's just Let's just make this a next gen game.
Did they say Beyond Good and Evil was delayed because of Rayman being
successful? Yeah, they just keep, Origins. Yeah, they could not have anticipated a Rayman game being successful.
I know. If you look back at like the podcasts we recorded last year, or even articles last year, everything we did was like, "Hey, Ubisoft, fuck you for releasing Rayman Origins in the middle of November, you assholes. You're just asking for it to fail." And then it's like 3 months later, they're like, "It sold really well. Shut the fuck up." And we're like, all right, you."
I seriously did doubt it. I was like, they were sending it to die, but
yeah, everyone thought that. But hey, but yeah, so Rockstar says current gen is best gen, biggest gen, is best.
That
gen.
Story also annoyed me because he gave that quote to Famitsu. So friggin' Famitsu, like,
had a Grand Theft Auto scoop.
Yeah, they got to talk to Dan Houser when he doesn't talk to anybody. And like, Japan does not give two craps about GTA. Well, okay, it gives a half a crap, I'll say, maybe. But that's it.
Yet, until Dan Houser talked to Famitsu.
I guess so. Yeah.
Maybe this changes everything.
Maybe they now know they need to pay off Famitsu to get better coverage.
That's
Japan.
How it works. Yeah. Other big news story, kind of going into what we mentioned earlier. So people are kind of whether or not the Vita is doing well or not. We put up a review of Black Ops Declassified, which looks like it's one of the worst games of the year.
Yeah.
In Japan, the 3DS is outselling the Vita 46-1.
This was a 1 week sales last week, but yeah.
So really the issue that I wanted to talk about here, and Henry, you were bringing this up earlier about how this is sort of tied into how PlayStation Network is kind of awesome if you have PlayStation Plus.
Yes, yeah. I think I was thinking about this week that PlayStation Plus as a $50 thing that lasts a year, I see more benefits to that now than I see what you get for $50 a year out of Xbox Gold, you know?
With the PlayStation Plus now, Vita has basically free games for all eternity.
Yeah, starting next week, the PlayStation Plus gets on the Vita, and in a sign that is very good for their consumers, but also seems pretty desperate. They're giving away the only games you would buy for the Vita, like that are that came out early. Sorry, 6 months ago. Like they're giving away Uncharted, Wipeout 2048, and Gravity Rush. Those are the only three games you should buy for that system at retail. And they're giving away.
I'd argue that there are some.
There's more, but
like what?
Luminous.
Oh, okay.
Luminous.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. That's true.
But Little Big Planet.
Yeah,
Little
right.
Big Planet karting. Right. PlayStation right, also karting. Has Battle Royale. It's probably going to be worth getting in a week or two.
Okay, but those three I named are like mega
three
like,
of the yeah. biggest
yeah.
ones.
Yeah, but as the only person in this room that actually played Uncharted on the Vita, it kind of isn't very great.
Mm-hmm.
It's not actually, and I am not on hashtag Team Gravity Rush as much as everyone else. I feel like it's not as strong a title, and you'll be able to talk more to it when you get
week,
it.
Yeah.
So I feel like it is. It's putting their technological best foot forward, but there are still games that better show off the power of the actual use of the Vita that aren't being put into this. And
the
though it is
remains
a super desperate move,
yeah.
I don't actually think it's as strong of a move as they will probably convince their investors of.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like at this point the PlayStation Network is the superior platform. Like, I feel like Xbox Live has a lot of accolades for being first mover in this sense because they got the ball rolling. They were the ones who really made the online value proposition work.
Mm-hmm.
But with Sony playing catch up with the PlayStation Network, they felt like they had to pull all stops and make it actually awesome.
And you can say that now, but wait until 3 months from now when the free game of the month is like Just Cause 1. Like it has been
so
in the
far,
past where the games have been on the PS3, some months it's been awesome. Other months it's been like free game of the month is this PS Mini that costs $2. Enjoy.
Yeah.
It's a hamster
they away,
game.
They still give away enough big games.
Well, recent ones have been it was Payday and Starhawk and King of Fighters.
So they're essentially giving away their games that are failures commercially.
Oh, not Tesla. I mean
Payday
still
and Payday and Starhawk.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I just think
there was Infamous 2 on there and
yeah,
like,
yeah,
so
at
pretty
the start.
Decent.
Rush and Clang.
Well, I just think philosophically the difference is like Live is about what it keeps from you until you become gold, like the online play or the weekly DLC that's coming for Halo, like that's behind gold.
Right.
While meanwhile, PlayStation Plus is about what it gives you. It gives you more stuff for doing it while you can still do multiplayer whenever you want.
One of them is an online service. One of them is a really good coupon book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm fine with both. I'd rather Microsoft give me Xbox Live, what they give now for free, and then charge me for cheaper games, and that doesn't make any fucking sense. Yeah. Well, charge me for cheaper games and some free games. That's fine, but it's just I'd prefer the Sony model, but I'm not going to go as far as to say it's better because that it's easy to look at the months in November when they're trying to move units and they're pulling out all the stops and forget about all the shitty months in between where I don't even bother turning on my PS3 to download the free game.
I'm just not sure that there's anything that Xbox Live does better than the PSN at this point.
Cross game chat.
Nah, download speeds.
Download speeds.
So
cross game
long
chat.
To download things.
That's fair.
Yeah. That's
pretty horrible.
The things I actually use it for.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see Sony making it competitive instead of just giving up. But though this news story is also funny. I did a story this weekend there. That posted last weekend called Seven Things American Gamers Don't Understand But Make Sense. But whatever. But most of the commenters thought it was why soccer sucks and why it doesn't suck. Like, that wasn't. But as I mentioned in the thing, like, the Vita is selling badly specifically in Japan because it just doesn't have Monster Hunter. And Monster Hunter.
As soon as it gets a Monster Hunter, it'll sell.
Well, Nintendo has worked very hard to make sure it won't get a Monster Hunter.
It's coming on Wii U and 3DS.
Yeah, Nintendo's got it.
It's pretty awesome, too.
Yeah, you saw it. Yeah. But Nintendo's worked very, like, they must have paid, I have to imagine, they paid Capcom something to make it exclusive to three Nintendo systems. But yeah, Monster Hunter, people are still buying PSPs to play Monster Hunter, the old Monster Hunters on that, but they're not going to get a Vita for it.
Yeah.
And it's the most aggressive. It's funny because Nintendo won't make aggressive moves that benefit the consumer.
Right.
They just pay people off not to make games.
Yeah. It's sad, but yeah. So yeah. Also, it was 46-1 for the Vita versus 3DS. For the PSP, like, the PSP outsold it like 8-1 or 9-1.
Yeah,
like,
they need to pull a ambassador program sized.
They need to cut. I don't
maneuver.
They should have, if they were going to cut the price for the holiday season, they should have done it already. And I think now Sony feels like it's too late to cut the price in 2012, because if they do it now, everybody who bought it earlier in the holiday season will be really pissed.
Nintendo did it, and now the Nintendo did it because the 3DS a year and a half ago was failing.
Yeah.
Outright failing. Now it is doing amazing.
But they did it in August as opposed to November.
Yeah, Sony waited too long. And I've been saying for a while, I don't expect Sony to cut the price of it. They're just going to keep shoving things into the bundle.
Right.
Like, right now, the $250 price point, the $250 price point of the Vita forgets the fact that it doesn't come with any memory to save. You still need to spend $50 to $100 more for memory. Expecting within the next 6 months, they're going to shove it like a 16 gig memory card in there. They're just going to keep giving you free games to get you to buy the console. It's probably not going to be the way they need. They needed to cut the price.
Yeah.
Other big story, though the Vita isn't doing well, Black Ops 2 did just fine.
500 million in first day sales. That is better than Modern Warfare 3, which was at 400 million, and Black Ops, which was at 360 million.
At this pace, they will be able to pay the entire U.S. debt by 2050.
Huh?
Every year.
It is crazy.
They'll rule the world.
Is that an actual statistic?
No.
This does explain why Activision is the Call of Duty company now.
Isn't it like half of their profits or something?
I think, they keep closing down everything else that isn't Call of Duty. They make all their best developers now just make more Call of Duty stuff.
Which is funny because none of those have actually come out.
So
they keep being like, we have Sledgehammer working on a Call of Duty. We have like five companies working on different Call of Duty games, and yet we still get a new Call of Duty every year. Yeah. It's like, weren't they supposed to have like a third-person shooter and like a tactics game? Like, where are all these Call of Duty games?
I think specifically with the Sledgehammer one, when Infinity Ward imploded, they had to no, Sledgehammer, you're working on Modern Warfare 3. Do it. Come on.
I'm just wondering.
They made a development team that made Modern Warfare 3.
Right, but remember 3 years ago
they killed Guitar Hero and broke out Call of Duty into its own label, basically.
But remember hearing that they were going to be making all of these non-first-person shooter Call of Duties.
Didn't happen.
Well, actually, they have Skylanders, too. So Activision has two mega cash cows.
World of Warcraft.
Well, but I don't count Blizzard.
World of Warcraft just plays.
Why would you not count Blizzard? Because
you have to imagine Blizzard has enough overhead for the fact that they never release their games on time.
World of Warcraft makes about $100 million a month.
Oh, I understand that. Mm. But Blizzard is a gigantic company that releases, that delays their games for years at a time. Mm-hmm. I have to imagine that some of that money gets pushed back into there.
I don't think so. But one thing I would want to say about Black Ops 2 is, and this may be a sign of weakness, is whereas in with Modern Warfare 3 and Black Ops, the that big million-dollar figure was for the UK and the US only, this figure was for worldwide.
For the seven people that bought it in Japan.
Right. Well, now in Europe.
In Europe and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So, Canada. So it's kind of like a maybe it wasn't as big as, you know, it would have been otherwise.
Maybe. I've been waiting to see Call of Duty slow down. I thought last year was going to be the start of that. But
it sounds like it might be this year.
Maybe.
Possibly.
I think,
this is a typical obfuscation, like a douchey executive obfuscation.
I think the real test will be if Call of Duty, when the next console generation really starts, sorry Wii U, but when it really starts, if the Call of Duty that they better have a Call of Duty ready for launch of the next gen systems, and if they do, like, how will that do? Like,
here's my prediction. When it does slow down, they're just not going to release day one sales. Mm-hmm. And then they'll be like, in the first 3 days, it sold 600 million.
Yeah.
In the first 2 weeks, 800 million. They'll just keep bumping up how long it takes for them to make the money.
Yeah. Press releases like those are always just it is a crazy huge number. But, yeah, those braggy press releases, there's usually some level of smoke and mirrors.
It's for your investors.
Yeah.
That's still a lot of money.
It's still a lot
of chowder.
All right, that's it for news. We're going to, speaking of Black Ops, we'll be right back with our Black Ops review as well as some Wii U chatter. So stay tuned. All right, and we're back, jumping into reviews. Call of Duty, obviously. So, yeah, Black Ops 2.
Yeah, so this one's...
I heard somewhere that you can... can you buy this game at Best Buy?
Best Buy?
Is that a place you can buy it?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, just curious. All right, go on. I'm sorry.
What is that all about?
Nothing,
all
right, don't worry.
The show is sponsored. It's nice to get money for our work.
I think... for Black Ops 2, I think people were a little... hesitant on this one because it was
keeps waiting for Call of Duty to suck.
Yeah,
and
they're waiting for it to fail.
They're like, oh, you know, they're just going from Modern Warfare to Future Warfare now.
There's a segment
and changing
of people who are waiting for it to fail.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of people are like thinking, oh, let's skip on this one and it's just going to be cut and paste. Like I'm going to say Modern Warfare 3 was pretty much that way. But
yeah.
This one actually changes it up a lot. The campaign is quite a bit different from the previous ones. They actually have this new element. It's like choice. So you could go into a mission and depending on how well you do on an objective can completely change the way the story goes. So
yeah, Call of Duty has always had those things where you'll walk into a room and you'll see somebody about to be shot and usually it's just an achievement. But now it can just jut off into a new storyline.
Right, and you know, when I was playing this, like everybody else who was talking or who was also playing the single player, I had different outcomes and not every single person had the exact same one. So there's a lot of branching. It was really surprising in how much
it's pretty cool. It's cool. I mean, considering usually Call of Duty ends with like, hey, did you get to the part where you shot that guy? And everyone's like, dude, I totally shot that guy.
All those
and then you high-five and fist bump and it was kiss
so,
a little.
Yeah. How did it happen that Treyarch became the Call of Duty studio? Like, I know how it happened,
well, because
but did we expect, like...
After Black Ops 1,
like,
sort of.
Yeah, Treyarch was just always just like, oh my god, what a, like a... That was the bitch studio.
They made Call of Duty... They made Call of Duty 3, which was the shit one.
It was really terrible.
And then they made World at War, which was...
And then they added zombies, and everybody was like, I love zombies.
And then, yeah, they just kind of, like, took over.
Black Ops was the first one to me that I was like, all right, I need to stop making fun of Treyarch.
Yeah.
Like, they are a competent studio. World at War was still just... It was like, you know what? You can't fuck up the Call of Duty engine. Was the excuse because it's like this game isn't great, but it's still good enough.
Yeah.
And then Black Ops was like they did some shit that Infinity War.
I
didn't
feel like
do.
Treyarch is just not getting the respect that it deserves for really taking this standard first person shooter franchise and being like, all right, we want you guys to do something a little different. And it's like the more room that Activision gave them, the better game they made.
Also, how is it that people acted like Infinity Ward was the one taking risks and making crazy decisions when all three of their games took place in the same time period with the same people and the same guns?
Yeah, right.
Meanwhile, you had a game that took place in the 40s and then the 80s, and now 2025, and people are still like, leave it to Treyarch, copy and paste in the same bullshit. Yeah, it's like, and they've made three complete, 40 years apart each game.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to the Treyarch games. I'm not looking forward to the Infinity War games.
I feel like all those people that are saying that, though, are the ones that aren't playing the games. They're the ones that are looking at the Infinity War games.
It's also the people that every year say, I'm done with Call of Duty forever. Yeah. I'm going to go back and play the one that came out last year.
Yeah.
Like, it was when Modern Warfare 3 came out, every commenter was like, Call of Duty's dead and it sucks forever, I'm going to go play Black Ops. And now everybody's, Call of Duty's dead, I'm going to go play Modern Warfare 3. It's like, you're just being a hipster. You're being a Call of Duty hipster by everyone who complains about the current one and then goes back and plays the last one. Because in a year, you're just going to do the same thing.
Yeah. I know what's better. Well, anyways, so they've added a little bit more to the campaign and zombies. They're patented zombies.
I'm tired of zombies.
Such a hipster.
Yeah.
I like when they were underground.
Zombies are for teenage girls.
But the zombies mode is
hot teenage girls.
Hot teenage girls.
Sorry. I wanted to sex up this podcast. So
hot zombie teenage girls.
18 to 19 year old teenage girls.
Yes. Unless you're in Europe, in which case 16 is legal, I think. In which case.
Oh, boy.
Listen, this is a podcast. It goes world round.
Yeah.
That's true.
Worldwide.
We have to pander to audiences around the world.
Yes.
We really have been preventing Lorenzo from talking so much here.
Zombies.
Trying to get my point
transit
about zombies.
Mode.
There's multiple new modes. There's custom mode, grief mode, transit mode, and the traditional zombie mode. So it's, you know, four times bigger. The transit mode is probably the coolest one, I think.
I've heard people saying it's too dark.
Is it?
That's people. I don't know.
Well, if you run out into the fog, it's people grasping at straws,
I guess.
Yeah, if you run out into the fog, it gets pretty blurry. But it's basically an open world, open map, and you ride a bus to get to like four different locations. And there's secrets in each part, and you put together these parts. They're just called parts, and they could be like mannequin torsos and ladders and whatever. And you go to these workbenches, and you create these special items that will open up doors, the secrets, and you could, you know, it's like kind of like the old survival mode where, you know, you'd find those Easter eggs. And
right.
And
I'm just wondering how long until Treyarch just goes like, fuck it, just zombie campaign.
Yeah.
Like, it can't be too long until zombie campaign.
It's almost there. This is basically what
I mean,
it
wouldn't be so ridiculous for their next game to be post-apocalyptic.
Just a zombie.
2060. They've jumped by 40 years each game.
Yeah.
Like 40s, 80s. 25.
Certainly enough atomic weapons have gone off in Call of Duty.
Yeah. And
that would be awesome.
And the multiplayer.
I would so love to see Treyarch make a post-apocalyptic Call
and then, and then the secondary mode will be a short campaign where you defend against waves of regular people.
Right.
Yeah.
It's called humans.
Add regular humans to
zombies
mode.
But yeah, it seems like Call of Duty, as with Grand Theft Auto V, like they needed the console to get to this point where they could spend all this time and make it so awesome. And
the game is just massive.
It's like, huge, right?
Each mode you could spend the next year in one single mode, basically. Yeah. Almost. Well, maybe not.
You
can
change it up on
maybe
weekends.
Not the campaign, yeah, but multiplayer and zombies for sure. You could spend a whole lot of time.
And pick 10 completely changes how the class load. I mean, they invented 10. The modern day class loadout,
right?
And then they were like, "Fuck it, let's just throw it to the wind."
And right. they've updated
like the Lewis CK every year.
So I notice every time you say Lewis, it's Louis.
Lewis.
I've noticed you said that. And I need to call you out publicly that you have to stop saying Louis C.K.
No, it's Louis the show.
His name is Louis C.K.
His name is Louis C.K.
Louis C.K.
He chooses to pronounce it Louis.
It's Louis C.K., I promise
you.
I saw him last night.
It's Louis. It's Louis.
It is Louis.
You're the only person I've ever heard refer to him as Louis C.K.
His name is Louis.
So I'm sorry.
There's an S on the end.
Pick 10.
Louis ends with an I.E. So what are we in fucking France?
In Call of Duty Black Ops 2 multiplayer, there's some new features too, like the pick 10, like Coops.
I want you all to write in. Radio Radar, GamesRadar.com. Tell me if it's Lewis or Louis.
You're not going to win this one. You're not going to walk away the victor in this case.
We shall see. Radio Radar, GamesRadar.com.
So pick 10.
So pick 10.
You get to choose.
So you choose 10 items. Whatever they want, you want them to be. You can't obviously pick 10 perks. I think the most you could get, 10 perk ones. You could get two of each. So You know, you could double up on certain things like lethal grenades and tactical grenades, and you could actually go without primary or secondary weapons.
Just a knife?
You could load up
I'm giggling right now because I literally cannot pronounce anything. It's like, how did I fuck up somebody's name?
The thing is, I've let you do it for like 2 weeks expecting you to realize it yourself.
And I never do.
No, and I just wanted... It's just
like my inability to pronounce words has no bottom.
Should we maybe just
especially because of how often in the office we've talked about Louis C.K.?
I know.
And it's like everyone else in the room saying potato and you're still going potato with no acknowledgement that that's what's happening. Anyway. So what'd you end up giving Call of Duty?
A 4.5 out of 5 stars.
Think best Call of Duty in a while?
I think so. In my personal opinion, this is one of my favorite ones in years. So,
awesome. Yeah, this is probably the longest I've gone without. Since Modern Warfare, I've always gotten the game early, either by developer's hands or just buying it at a store that broke street date. This is the first time that I have not beaten a Call of Duty before it came out,
yeah.
And I feel really dirty about it. Like, I'm like, I need to go beat this game.
Yeah, go beat it, man.
Go beat it.
Awesome.
Just go beat it right now.
With your permission, I will. Other reviews this week. We're going to do these quickly because you can read about them on the site, and we have other things to do today.
And also, tomorrow, when does the show go up? Today.
Tomorrow.
So on Saturday, we will be having a live stream at 9 p.m. The Wii U
Pacific
will be available.
Time,
Pacific time. So that'll be like midnight Eastern or something. But we'll be doing a show. You can watch us play as many Wii U games as we have in the office. What do we have? We've got Nintendo Land,
Batman,
Mario U,
Scribblenauts.
Can we not do Scribblenauts? Effect.
Oh, well, maybe. Well, no, wait, no, we can't do
Zombie U, Mass Effect.
Dance Party 4.
Sing Party.
We got some games, but you all will be able to tell us. We'll be live streaming it.
I mean, it's probably going to end up being 2.5 hours of Nintendo Land, but yeah. We'll do what you want.
We'll what about Ninja Gaiden?
So tune in tomorrow. We'll have a story up on the website today telling you how to find it, but it should be fun. We're looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. But speaking of Nintendo
Rabbids?
Land.
Did somebody say Rabbids?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Robbids. No.
Shit!
Nintendo Land.
Yeah. I liked Nintendo Land a lot more than I thought I would. When I saw it at E3, I was like, what is this bullshit? Fuck this. Like, that was my
Henry's go-to reaction.
So hipster. Well, you're just like the hipster gamer this episode.
I hate zombies. No, and I played it when I played it at E3, and even then I was like, God, why didn't they make a real game for the system to show it off? But now that I've
had a real game, like Wii Sports.
Right. Yeah, so now that I played all the 12 minigames, I ended up giving it a 3.5 out of 5. I thought it was pretty good, especially the... I ended up liking the multiplayer stuff a lot more than I did the single-player stuff.
Yeah, the game has some I actually played it with people who don't typically play games, mm-hmm. and they were super critical about the Wii U in general. Like, why is there a second screen, blah, blah, blah. And by the end of the night, it was like, all right, I need to buy this.
Really?
Because of two games. The Animal Crossing game, mm-hmm. which is the plot of the animal – the way the Animal Crossing game plays is everyone plays on a split screen on the screen where you just run around collecting candy, and on the gamepad – with the analog sticks, somebody else controls two guards that need to go get the people. And with each analog stick, you control them separately. Mm-hmm. So it's a completely asymmetrical multiplayer mode. And the other one is the Luigi's Mansion one,
mm-hmm.
which
Ghost
I think...
Ghost Mansion, played. And that one is awesome. At first, I was knocking all the three different Versus games. The third one is Mario Chase. They all are, when you get down to it, tag. It's called... You just tag people as fast as you can. But the Luigi's Mansion one is really awesome because one person is an invisible ghost, four people are Ghostbusters, and they can feel on their Wii. You need to own four Wii remotes to enjoy Wii Nintendo Land. I have to say that too. But so people are holding their Wii remotes, it starts to shake when the ghost gets close to them, and so like if you have up to five people playing, the four Ghostbusters are going like, I feel him over here. He's near me. I turn around, and I did, no! And, like, when somebody gets you, like, it really does, like, when the ghost catches you, you really could just, if you're so into it, I've found myself several times going, like, God damn it, he got me!
Yeah, and then the ghost can, like, grab people and knock them out.
And
but
you squeal in delight.
But the level design is really good, where as the ghost, you're able to, like, it shows you how large your area of influence is in terms of, like, what will people find, like, when will people's controllers start vibrating, so you can start, like, all right, if I swing around here, this person will freak the fuck out and everyone's going to run, so I can hide here and jump out at them. It's something that, like, a lot of things are, okay, this technically could have been done on another console. Yeah. There's no way this game could be successfully done without the Wii U.
And I also like the three co-op games, the Metroid, Pikmin, and Zelda ones. Those are actually pretty deep. Like
Pikmin just feels like a full, like almost like a it's like pretty a, much a Pikmin game.
Yeah, it's just it could have been just a mode in Pikmin. Like it's really fun, and there's like 10 levels to go through. Same with Zelda. Zelda's good though. Metroid, I think, is my favorite for depth. Like it uses the Wii the nunchuck. And it's basically horde mode with a dude in a plane helping you from above, which I really like. Well, meanwhile, all the single player ones are good, but they are the lightest, and they're the ones where when I played like the F-Zero one, I thought I want a real F-Zero game. This is not a good.
Yeah, there's essentially four or five good games of the 12, and then the rest are just legitimately tech demos. Like that was the Wii Sports success. None of those actually felt like tech demos, even though that's what they all were. It was just tech demo of swinging the controller this way, tech demo. These games, a lot of these games are just like, this is just you showing that you could technically
do
this.
Any of these games, like, sell you on the system? Like, I'd say, I know Wii Bowling for the Wii was like, oh, we got to play this.
In terms of, like, old people, no. Yeah. But in terms of, like, you, like, any, like, regular gamers will probably be sold if they are even remotely interested in couch multiplayer like, the Luigi game. Like, the games that are, like, five players.
So I'll pick up the game extra pad. Screen and say I need this for all of my games.
So I think so.
I'm confused because earlier this week we were talking about how you thought that Nintendo Land is not the new Wii Sports.
It is.
It is not.
Yeah, I still don't think it is.
It is meant to be as the next Wii Sports. I think it is a failure. Like because it doesn't appeal enough to hardcore Nintendo people and it won't. But it's too into Nintendo nostalgia. To make grandmas happy, and so it doesn't meet in the middle, which they want to.
Yeah, it's good because Wii Sports wasn't going to sell gamers on the Wii; it was going to sell non-gamers on the Wii. This is meant to sell gamers on the Wii.
Do you think it'll sell people who had a Wii on the Wii U?
It depends on if those people are gamers or not,
and if they even know the Wii U exists.
I mean, that is actually one thing. Where has been the advertisement push for the
Wii? I've seen a couple ads on TV last night.
Yeah, they're really silly. In the theater.
We should go interview old people and ask them if they know about the Wii and then the Wii U.
Game Informer did that. We'd be ripping them off.
Oh.
Fuck those guys.
I know those guys.
They say Wii.
So you give it a 3.5?
3.5, which is a good score, guys. Not a bad score. Like
sounds like a failure to me.
We also gave Sing Party a 3.5.
Mm-hmm. Andrew Hayward reviewed that.
When did that go up?
Same day.
Thursday. Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, what did you give Ninja Gaiden? Ninja Gaiden?
A 2.5.
Okay.
And I'll be reviewing Mass Effect on that system soon. And no matter how good it is, I still feel like I have no idea why they made it.
Yeah, well, meanwhile, Batman, if somehow
can you talk
didn't...
about Batman yet?
Nope.
Anyway,
but Batman exists. That's all I was saying.
Real quick, and a real quick review of Mario... New Super Mario Brothers U.
What did you give it?
I gave it a 4 out of 5. And
so it did break that.
Yes.
We finally have one great game.
Yeah. I'm actually on the low end of reviews for it, but I think I was kind of judging it more than others. I just have very high standards for Mario games, and it is the best new Super Mario Brothers game, and I don't mean that's capital N on the new. It's my favorite of those because I think it's the most imaginative, the deepest. And I can't talk about stuff that happens after World 5, but I will say that unlike the stupid payoff you get for a million coins.
That was a really stupid payoff.
In New Super Mario Brothers 2, this gives you way more incentive to collect everything. There's a way better post-game content.
So, in terms of, comparing it, I know you haven't been a huge fan of the previous New Super Mario games.
I liked them. They were good. A previous Games Radar employee, Brett Elston,
wondering if you were not going to say
that. No. I respect his review, but he gave New Super Mario Brothers Wii a 7 at the time because I think mostly because he really hated 4-player, and I accept that 4-player is a fun way to play with friends, but if you take Mario seriously like me, it is bullshit.
If you're a grown-ass man.
4-players is party mode, basically.
4-players is party mode. It's not how to really play Mario, but 2-players is a lot of fun. Anyway, we gave New Super Mario Brothers Wii a 7. I would have given it an 8 back then, but
I think this is like a step up design-wise. They've worked a lot harder on making the levels interesting and distinct. A lot more new enemies. The final, like, the boss battles against the Koopalings are way... They actually tried on them. It wasn't like they just, let's do exactly what we did in Super Mario 3, except it looks HD. Like,
right.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It is a true Mario game in that sense. And it owes a lot to Super Mario World, which is a supremely awesome game.
Yeah.
Like, so I definitely say it's you should pick it up. If you're buying a Wii U, I think it is the launch game to get, at least the new launch game. Like, maybe something will be higher rated on our site at some point.
But
it's the
game. It's a Mario game. It's the first Nintendo console to have a Mario at launch in forever.
Since the N64.
Yeah.
Unless you count Luigi's Mansion as a launch game, but I don't. I count it as a launch game.
Mario's in it.
At the very end.
Mario?
Yeah. That game actually is good, but
it's not a really good game.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's it for reviews. You can check out those and like a dozen other reviews in the coming days on Games Radar, and you should probably do that because
Please
we spend a lot
do.
Of time on them and haven't slept much.
We're killing ourselves to get those in your face, guys.
We're dying here.
So moving on to the community segment, what was last week's question of the week?
Best boss fight.
Best
Favorite
boss fight.
Boss.
Favorite boss fight.
False. Did I say false?
You might have. And what was? I think the winner gets a code for PID.
We got a lot of shit, so we'll just send you a list.
Of
you can
stuff
pick
you
something,
want. Yeah.
And we'll
so
go
who,
from there.
So what's the?
Boronbin.
Is that the winner or is that just someone?
This is someone.
Okay.
Boronbin. My favorite boss would have to be Kefka from Final Fantasy VI. It was such an epic moment to finally reach that asshole that essentially ruined the world. He essentially.
Yeah, that's one of the things about Kefka that people love so much. Mm. But compared to all other villains, Kefka's plan was to destroy the world. Kefka destroyed the world. He did it. He
Well, and also, Kefka wasn't like. Most FF villains are like so. Prideful or like or have some dignity. He was just like a prick. He looked like a clown.
Yeah, he just was just an asshole.
You wanted to kill him so bad, but you never could. Like, you never got to touch him until the very end of the game. He was a great villain. Yes.
Great villain. Video Gabes says, can't believe no one said the great mighty Pooh from Conker's Bad Fur Day.
He's going to throw his leap at you.
Not only
on the Xbox.
Is it a freaking huge pile of poop that you throw toilet paper at, he is an awesome opera singer that sings about the fact that he is a piece of poop.
He does.
What an awesome boss.
He's a good boss.
He's a good boss.
He is.
Other winners' entries are Unoriginal, Asura's Mentor. August from Asura's Wrath is my favorite boss fight, at least of the current generation. The battle is preceded by an entire level of Asura and August. Am I saying that right? I'm doubting myself.
Augie.
Chilling out, hot spring, relaxing, building up their strength. The final battle, the grace period is ended when a drunk Asura tries to sexually harass a patron, and Augie decides that the time for a confrontation has come.
So who's the winner?
The winner is... Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, congratulations. Email us for your PID code.
Extapopolopotamus. Which, for two reasons. One, his username reminds me of my first Xbox Live username, which was Magrinothamus. Magrinothamus, like a hippopotamus. I was really tired at an airport, and I had my airport ticket. And it goes like Magrino, Thomas, and somehow...
It just all fell together
Magrino
in your
brain. Came
all right,
out
that's
of
fair. That's a fair reason.
And the other reason why he wins is he starts off his comment, "No Tom this week makes me a sad T-Dar." So, anyway. As for boss fight, what sticks out to me was the end from MSG3. First time I fought the boss, I went in blind and got super into the fight, using the directional microphone, making sure I was camouflaged all the time, and taking my time with everything. The whole fight, I was super tense. They really should have called him the Fear. He was far scarier to fight than the Fear ever was, and lasted at least 45 minutes before I finally took him down. The whole fight is just fantastic and will always stick with me. MGS3 as a whole has some fantastic boss fights, but this one made a bigger impact on me.
Best thing is you could totally avoid that by shooting him in the head way early in the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Or just turning your system off for a few weeks and doesn't he just die?
Yeah, he just dies. You could shoot him in the head and his wheelchair blows up. Sweet.
That's not bad.
That's what happens when you shoot
him. So, Ectopopolopotamimus. something. You win one of things that we'll email you a list of.
One of things.
Actually, and you should email us, and then we'll email you back with the list, and then you email us back.
RadioRadar@GamesRadar.com. Just let us know which episode, just so, because we forget.
Yeah.
Question of the week this week. The winner gets a copy of Black Ops 2.
Sponsored by
Best Buy.
If you were going to be one of those $500 million spenders, go to Best Buy. Buy Black Ops 2.
There.
You could buy it anywhere. Why not buy it at Best Buy?
Exactly. And
same price.
themed for that, what game series do you think should get an FPS spinoff? I'm going to go with one that I'm sure people are going to disagree with.
Okay.
I want a Mass Effect FPS spinoff, specifically because there are so many interesting wars in Mass Effect's history that it wouldn't make sense for them to be choice-driven, narrative-driven games because we already know how they play out. But Call of Duty-style game during the Rachni Wars or the Grunt – or not the Grunt. I call them Grunt. The uprising of – what's the – what the Rex Grunt
or
race?
Rex race.
What's that race called?
The Krogans.
The Krogans. Krogan Uprising. Like, there are so many interesting things. I'd love to play a game where you kind of just play in a shooter based in that universe, a true first person action.
Presumably
shooter.
Made by someone other than BioWare.
Probably made by someone other than BioWare. Okay.
What even is BioWare?
I'm going with Street Fighter.
Right. Would it be a shooter, or would you just kick when you hit the trigger?
No, there would be fireballs thrown.
Okay.
That would just be Ryu going into real-life situations and be like, fuck it, throwing a fireball. The other positive for this is then you can have a Michael Clark Duncan ball rock and a tiny little pistol.
You really want that, don't you? But he's dead.
I know he is, but in the digital world, he lives forever.
Yeah. Mine would be
Mario.
No, it would be Spider-Man because there were some good. They toyed around with it a teeny bit in Shattered Dimensions, where they had these FPS moments where you go through the eyes of Spider-Man, you see him punch dudes in the face and shoot webs, and I don't know. I think it'd at least be something new to do with Spider-Man is swing around. It could feel like Mirror's Edge. I guess the only real problem would be when Spider-Man swings, like his eye, like what he's seeing.
They don't have to. Just make it, just keep it level. It'd
yeah,
be fine.
Yeah. He doesn't need to do a bunch of poses and just have it. Like, it's cool to see him do poses when it's a third-person game, but in first-person, his eyes would be spinning around everywhere.
You'd be vomiting. We'd all be vomiting.
I can see how they would use the Red Dead Redemption slowing down time thing.
I've been wanting for years for them to make just, like, I'm a big fan of slow motion in games, and I feel like they should use it more in, like, a Spider-Man game. Like, there should be points where, like, half that game should be in slow motion. He has Spidey sense, for crying out loud. Yeah.
Spider-Man really just needs something new. Like, it's in a real rut.
So what about you?
How about Mega Man? Mega Man's, he's been, not around at all.
Just shoots.
So, yeah, he shoots and...
First-person platformer?
Would it be like Metroid Prime?
Yeah.
I mean, Mega Man games are already sort of Metroid-y.
Yeah, and you could have, he could have, you know, visor settings in his robot eyeballs and stuff. And
he does have robot eyeballs.
Absorb powers.
All right. Man. So, yeah, comment on the article. Send us a tweet. Send us an email. Twitter is GRRadioRadar. Email is RadioRadar@GamesRadar.com. And you can win a copy of Black Ops 2.
Black Ops?
Did I say that?
Yeah.
Black Ops.
Black Ops.
Ha! Eat it, Coop! Well, I didn't do it for like 3 weeks straight, so.
That's fair.
So, yeah, and be sure to tune in tomorrow for our live stream of the Wii U stuff.
Yeah, and send us a message on Twitter, grradioradar@twitter.com.
That's not what it is.
Facebook @grradioradar.
No, it's not. It's actually just
Twitter.com.
It's just GamesRadar and Facebook.
And, hey, if you like the show and you download the show through iTunes, go ahead and give us a good star. A good star.
Yeah,
one good star. Because one star is
best
top,
star.
And five stars means you hate us a lot. So
written reviews are also really appreciated, guys.
Anyway, we do appreciate it.
I love that Call of Duty Black Ops 2 sucks story. And the guy was like, man, game's awesome! One star.
And then he said, I gave it one star because it's the number one game.
Yeah.
I love that guy. Everyone loves it. All the commenters. Even the commenters are like, fuck this article. This is dumb. By the way, I love that guy who rated it one star because he thinks it's the best. So, yeah, check out GamesRadar.com for all of these stories and more and a ton of Wii U stuff next week and some non-Wii U stuff if you don't give a flying fuck about the system. But, yeah, talk to you next week. This episode of Radio Radar brought to you by Best Buy. You can pick up Call of Duty Black Ops 2 at Best Buy or BestBuy.com now.
All right. Is that everyone?
Uh-huh.
Flip them.
Lunar Lander! I chose Lunar Lander, the 1979 Atari arcade game. On this card, you can see that it says, oh shit. I don't know why. That doesn't seem appropriate. but the nice thing about Lunar Lander is its simplicity, its aesthetic, it's an aesthete. What is the... It's very simple. It's very simple.
Basic.
You know exactly what is happening on the screen at all times. There is no confusion. And because of that, that simple beauty that conveys the point... Lunar Lander.
I'm going to use your point against you because I chose Pong for the same reason. Now, Lunar Lander has a bunch of shit you don't need. It has points all over the top of the screen. There are several unnecessary lines. Meanwhile, Pong...
Mine has cursing aliens.
Cursing aliens. Pong, though, is even more simplistic. It's even more basic. You have just a dot, sometimes a trail, depending on the version, if you want to get just fucking as fancy as hell.
Yeah.
Two lines... A line down the middle, and how many points you have at the top. You don't have a bunch of, like, cliffs and shit.
I concede defeat.
All right.
And now I'm wishing that I had picked one of the two Atari games that were my choices. But instead, I went with Worms, which is obviously such a great-looking game because they never change the graphics. They still look the same.
Why would they?
They always do.
Obviously, that's the reason they've never changed the graphics.
Yeah,
it's because everyone thinks, man, this game is beautiful.
So beautiful. I just love the cartoony armless worms shooting each other, throwing holy hand grenades, and exploding crap. So isn't that great?
So great.
I actually chose a game that's...
You went serious with this.
Yeah, I went real serious. Shadow of the Colossus.
Unoriginal bastard.
Yeah.
Also, looking at your cards, did you also have Ico in your hand?
I did.
Wow.
Man.
I like this game better, though.
So, Shadow of the Colossus.
It's, you know, there's giant guys everywhere, even on the PS2.
What can I say about Shadow of the Colossus?
I love
Zeus. It's got
giant
guys.
I love giant guys. But, you know, the vistas.
You heard it here first, everyone.
Lorenzo loves giant guys.